difference in motivation when it comes to evangelism. Oh, by the way, a few weeks ago, I was telling you, Kathy Anna and I, we were in the same school but several years apart, and we were not in the same class, but we knew some mutual friends kind of in the middle. Well, we have one today. Kathy Malone is, I think, your married name, right? She was Kathy Cone when I was in school. We actually were in the same grade or same class. And she's now living in Valdosta, Georgia, and the friend of Kathy Anna's, and been over this weekend to see her. So Kathy's got to leave early, I understand, so you will not be able to talk to her about me in my college days. So, but hopefully she'll be back at some point. So just want to introduce Kathy to you if you haven't already met her. So when we're talking about evangelism, I'm going to talk about some methods and motivation today, like I said. So whenever door-to-door evangelism is mentioned, what do you think about? We was playing name recognition, and you heard door-to-door evangelism. What would you think about? Bernard?
Excitement.
Huh?
Excitement?
Maybe.
Jehovah's
Witness. Okay.
Fear.
That's a good word.
Meeting people. Meeting a friend you've never met.
Meeting people you've never met before.
Danger.
Huh? Danger. It is these days, that's for sure.
See the different answers the extroverts are saying?
Yeah.
Rejection.
Yeah. Rejection. Somebody said rejection.
Door slamming.
Door slamming. That'd be rejection. Tired feet. Worn out shoes.
We already go to church somewhere.
Hot and sweaty. We already go to church somewhere, so don't bother me. Is door knocking successful?
Yes. Can be.
Yes. Can be. Some a yes.
How do we know?
That's the way I was converted.
Door knocking converted you through door knocking?
There was a door knocking campaign, I guess they call it.
Yeah.
And they just got my name and number at the door knocking thing, and then later they did it.
That was in Knoxville, around East Tennessee.
When I was going to UT.
Okay. Have you ever heard statements such as, "I don't believe in door knocking. It's not effective. It does not work anymore. It's a waste of time."
Yeah.
You hear that?
Just ignore it.
Door knocking does not always produce the greatest numbers, and it is one of the most difficult evangelistic methods, but it always works. When we talk about groups, other groups doing it, of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses are to come to mind, and to some degree, the Latter-day Saints, or what we call Mormons. I think of Norman, Oklahoma. So. The growth of the Latter-day Saints Church, or the Mormons, is among the fastest of any denomination on planet. For the last 15 years, an average of 800 people have joined the LDS Church every day. Yes, sir?
I don't know if you get to this or not, but this is a really good point at which, you know, there are some people who love door knocking and are very effective, and there are some people who are just not called to that.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's the many parts of the body.
Yeah.
And I know I have had days where, and I've done it, where I shouldn't have been there. Personally.
Yeah.
But I've had days where I should have been there, and so it really depends on.
Yeah, everybody's not cut out for it.
Yeah, it's
we're talking about in generalities.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? So 800 people a day are joining the LDS Church. That's according to MormonWiki.com. From 1979 to 1998, the Mormon Church had a 93.27% increase in membership, which is average of 4.66 per year. 1999 to 2018, it dropped a 45.93% increase, and last year alone, 1.21%. The church grows basically from the convert baptisms plus baptisms of children born into the church. And did anybody know what age Mormons baptize their children?
10 or 12. It's pretty young. By the way, Lynn, these numbers that you're getting does come from Mormon Church.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, and I have Mormon chaplains, and it doesn't show that the way they count people is like different.
Right.
Than we do.
It is.
We say we have about 140 to 10 here. That's our average attendance.
Right.
I went to a school for a year, the Air Force sent me to, and we had to go to different churches. Went to the Mormon church, and they said, there's 1,500 members here.
Yeah.
I got there, and there were 75 people.
Yeah.
I was like, well, where's anybody else?
Yeah.
They said, well, they're not active.
Yeah.
But they're still counted.
Yeah.
And then also what they're going to not mention is the ones that want to be off the rolls. If
right.
you want to be off the rolls in the Mormon church, that takes some work.
Yeah.
You can't just quit going. You're still on the rolls until your, 110th birthday, something like that.
Uh-huh.
So they got a whole sack full of people that ain't even going.
Yeah.
And that 800 a day.
I realize that.
That is not true.
Nationwide, yeah. And you have to remember, and this is not a class on Mormon church, but they baptize for the dead, which then is added into these numbers. So I don't know how accurate these numbers are. These are off the internet.
Inaccurate.
I mean, they are what they are. That's what you have. I mean, that's what they give you.
We have 20 new members every week.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. As far as baptizing children, I read anywhere between 8 and 9, 10 maybe another figure, I don't know. But around 8, 9, 10 years old, they do baptize their children. Who's baptizing these new converts or new members?
Who?
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 Who? Who? Who or whom?
The preacher or the...
Yeah. Who within the church is baptizing the most people? The missionaries. The guys that ride around on a bicycle with black pants and white shirts. They do have preachers, but the missionaries are the one doing the baptizing.
Have preachers. They have people give up.
They have elders. Go with me, Gary. play along. Play along.
He's still working out.
I was never a Mormon.
They're still counting.
The Mormon congregation he had to visit for his chaplaincy, they put him on the roll.
That's right.
Anyway, the missionaries are doing most of the converting. Also, we think of them as men only, a boys only, a teenagers only, or young men. They also have a group of girls that do missionary work. So they're called sisters. I did not know that until one day I was eating at Taco Bell and there was a group of kids, and some of them were the guys. You can tell them, you know who they are, and the girls were with them, had name tags, and they said sister so and so. So, but they did not drink any caffeinated drinks. I thought that would get some reaction, but Jeffrey. Yeah. Mormons don't drink caffeine, right? Is that right?
Not coffee.
Actually, they found out that God put caffeine in the coffee.
It was okay. Jeffrey Holland, a top Mormon leader, told a radio interviewer in 2015 that the LDS church expects to have around 100,000 missionaries by 2019. 100,000. Mormon church statistics, I'm just the messenger. Statistics show that they knock 1,000 doors before they typically set up one study. 1 to 1,000 ratio. But the church distributes over how many copies of the Book of Mormon? Anybody know? Per year. We're talking about per year. 5 million copies per year are distributed. Any questions about the Mormon church and their evangelistic work?
I haven't
got yet. I do too. It's hard reading to me. For me it was. So.
Well, what's different from that and Bible?
A lot of things. Yeah.
So it's their own Bible.
It's their own Bible. Yeah. They use part of the real Bible and then use the Mormon Book of Mormon to subsidize the Bible. Yes, sir?
Just as a point of reference, the number of Bibles that are distributed here, you're at, from a quick Google search on Bibles, the BibleAnswers.org is between 100 million and or more each year.
But that's all churches.
Yeah, that's throughout the world.
All through the world. So.
Yeah. When I was in Iraq, they would send care packages over. We got all those care packages.
Yeah.
Supposed to give them out to people, but we always opened them first to make sure there wasn't stuff in there. And so the Mormons would send a lot of those, and they would put the Book of Mormon in there, Pearl of Great Price, and their other writings. And so I know in Iraq right now, the burn pits are about 4,000 pounds of stuff in there. So. Oh, yeah, throw them away.
Okay. Let's talk about our friends of Jehovah's Witness. Whether baptized or not, they are expected to take part in the door-to-door work. They were referred to as publishers. They have to report their activity, which includes the number of hours spent each month going from house to house and in conducting Bible studies with interested people. Just so happened about a month ago, I was at a church yard sale, and they had a box of free books, and I picked this one up, written by Joe Hewitt, who is a former Jehovah's Witness member. And he does talk about this to some degree. He says they have kind of requirements for how many doors to knock and that sort of thing. And if they do not meet that expectations, they lose some of their salvation. So it's strictly a work salvation religion. So
they lose their gifts in heaven.
Yeah, part of their rewards. They'll lose their rewards. They call them rewards. Yeah. Well, that's a different story. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. The 144,000, according to the book, is primarily the really top echelon in the church, the elders and ministers and that sort of thing. All the regular members who are saved or will be saved will live on a new earth, is what they're calling it. So the 144,000 go to heaven, but that's only a special group. Everybody else will stay here. Jehovah's Witness on their growth rate from 1979 to 1988 was 100%. From 1999 to 2018, it dropped to 41.2%, and last year alone, 1.35%. In 1962, it took 2,039 hours of door knocking for each baptism. From 1986 to 1990, it took 3,120 hours of door knocking for each baptism. 2011 through 2015, it took 6,822 hours per baptism. And last year, it took 7,364 hours of door knocking for each baptism. In 1962, the conversion rate of baptisms to the number of Bible studies, 10.65%. In 2018, the conversion rate, 2.8. Yes, sir?
So just doing the math, for the non-math people in the room, if you look at the growth rates in the 79 through 88 and 99 through 2018, in absolute numbers, they may not be much different, right?
Correct. Because
they've doubled in size,
right?
And they're now growing at half the rate.
Right.
So they may actually, to your point you're getting ready to get to, maybe continuing adding the same numbers every year that they've added for 35 or 40.
I don't know how they're coming up with their numbers, you know.
According to these numbers, they would be adding the same.
Yeah, could be. Yeah. Again, you know, this comes from jwfacts.com. So that's a Jehovah's Witness site. So they could be padding the numbers. But using the 2018 numbers with 8.3 million publishers preaching each month, that Jehovah's Witness spent over 2 billion total hours in the field, which equaled 10 million Bible studies, which equaled to 281,000 baptisms. So it took an average 7,364 hours of activity to generate one new baptism, making door-to-door evangelism a hugely time-consuming activity for the Jehovah's Witness.
That's 3 people working for a year.
Yeah.
That's what, 7,000
years?
That's 3 people working a year with some overtime.
Yeah. Year round.
Yeah.
Year round. Yeah. Any questions about Jehovah's Witness numbers? And again, all I know is what I can find. I mean, I don't know. I didn't pull an audit on them or anything. So, So let's talk about Church of Christ numbers. According to the book, Churches of Christ in the United States, published by 21st Century Christian, from 1990 through 2015, Church of Christ membership dropped 7.8%. And of course, but since each congregation is autonomous, the figures are only as accurate as the data supplied. On October 14th, which is a couple weeks ago, I did some corresponding with Larry West, who's director of the We Care Ministries, under the direction of the Whites Ferry Road Church of Christ in West Monroe, Louisiana. Who is familiar with Larry West and our We Care Ministries?
I know Larry West.
You know him personally. I've only corresponded with him.
Yeah.
I know Wayne has went through We Care at Niceville. Has anybody else went through the We Care program? Dwayne, was that in Niceville too?
Yes.
Okay. We'll talk about some numbers here in a minute. But anyway, in his email, I was asking Larry some figures about how successful they are or have been. And he said over the last 25 years, and this is a national average, both large and small towns, on average, out of three doors they knock, one has someone at home. Now, I don't know what times of the day they go in. I'm suspecting they're going late afternoons and then Saturdays and weekends. But I don't know that for a fact. How do they know what?
If somebody's home.
They'll either answer or they can hear somebody running around.
One out of three people come to the door.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. Who knows? One time I did collections for a department store in Opelika, Alabama, the big city. And I knocked on the door one day and the little kid came to the door and I said, "Is your mom at home? Mother at home? Mom at home?" And she said, "My mama told me to tell you she's not at home." So this may be the case here. So if we look at the number of doors knocked per study set up, We Care Ministries is averaging 1 out of 15, and using the Mormon numbers, 1 out of 1,000. Of those who hear the gospel, 1 out of every 3 people obey it in baptism. This means that on average, a conversion is made for every, and you need to change this in your notes, on average, a conversion is made for every 45 doors knocked. That's complete doors knocked, not necessarily people who are at home. Okay, does that sound about right? Y'all have done some similar type stuff. But then if you use the figures, how many are actually converting? That's 33% of those who are taught the gospel. So for every Bible study We Care sets up, there's one conversion, 1 out of 3. Claire went on to say in his email, it's not that people aren't interested. Our problem has been twofold. Number one, the method. It's all in knowing how to approach and guide the conversation in a caring way, what to say and what not to say. And then the message, we have for too long, talked to people about the Church of Christ instead of the gospel of Christ. But nowhere did those first century Christians go out to a lost person and talk about themselves or the church. They told the good news about Jesus and how to obey him for the new birth. Bless you. Any questions on We Care numbers?
In his book there from 1990 to 2015, says we dropped 7.8%. You know, I think at the beginning of those books, they list in there who they actually count.
Yeah.
And there's been a ton of changes
within
our fellowship
from
1990 to 2015.
And they've also...
might not have just been membership dropping, but churches who started using instruments and
they dropped them. Yep.
And that shows that the drop right there, I would imagine that amongst other things.
Right.
Not that people aren't being saved and we don't have good churches and people are growing.
But if you do a complete nationwide search of Christian churches, you'll see that memberships is dropping all over, not just Church of Christ, but everywhere. Yes, sir?
I wonder how much of that includes debt membership also.
Because of the age.
What you see is there's congregations that are not evangelistic.
Yeah.
And they just literally die off.
I do, yeah. As the population gets older and dies, yeah. That is true.
I've heard it called grayed out.
Is that what it's called?
We've lost a lot of our members to churches that
Well, we're not going. We're not talking about music today. We're talking about door knocking. You want to hear my argument against that? Y'all got 30 seconds? I'll give you an argument.
Against what?
Music.
Oh.
Okay. Here, music here. Here's my 30 second answer. How many churches are represented on this street? Beach Drive.
Seven.
How many of them have instruments already?
Six.
Seven.
Everybody except us, right? So if we add music, why would they come here versus go somewhere else that's had it for years and years?
The preaching's really awesome here.
That is.
They would come here because they're worried about going to hell if they don't come here.
Is that it? That's my 30 second answer.
Best movies on the street.
So what should we see as embarrassing is the fact that in spite of their relatively unfruitful door-to-door evangelism, the Jehovah's Witness and Mormon churches are a couple of the fastest growing religion bodies in the U.S. today, while Churches of Christ have had essentially zero growth in the U.S. for many years. Does anybody know what happened 3 weeks ago on October the 5th, 2019? There you go. Did you? Where are y'all from?
Palm Beach. Well, we go to Palm Beach Lake Church of Christ down in West Palm.
Okay. Yes. It was declared the brotherhood-wide door-knocking day with the goal initially of only 200 Churches of Christ is participating. They had over 530 that actually participated. And what it was basically a day of door-knocking. It was headed up by the house-to-house, heart-to-heart ministry out of Jacksonville, Alabama. They say they're going to, and all the churches that participated had to send in a report. Is that right? Do you know?
I believe so.
You're supposed to have. You're supposed to send in a report to heart, and they were going to combine them and give you all the information. That information has not been released yet, or at least I can't find it, and I've asked them for it. So, but they did supposedly have 530 different congregations participating. We didn't know about it here. I read about it in... you know where I read about it? No, you don't know.
In the message.
The Magnolia Messenger, which is put out in Mississippi, about churches in Mississippi.
Magnolia Bible College.
Which is now defunct, but that's the same thing. There's an ad in there about it, and that's how I found out. So, anyway... Is that where you found it?
Yeah.
So why have a door knocking campaign? And this information is new, so you won't have it. I got this information after I'd already printed out your handout. Door knocking is designed to reach the unchurched. They have no religious affiliations and perhaps no religious backgrounds. They are lost souls who are in desperate need of someone who cares to bring them the good news of the gospel. Number two, door knocking is designed to reach the unreachable. Let's skip that house as they were not receptive last time. But people change, seasons change, things change. You never know what you will find on the other side of a door. And finally, number three, door knocking is designed to reach the unmovable. Everyone can change. Perhaps it is not those outside the building who needs to be moved. Door knocking moves a church to do the work God intended. The Great Commission is about going, not coming. If we don't go, they will never come. The lie that door-to-door evangelism doesn't work probably comes from folks who 30 or 40 years ago devoted a few Saturdays for a few hours or for a day in the sun passing out gospel meeting flowers or handouts for an event and then decided to give up. It simply requires investment of time, discipline, dedication, and effort to see results. The statistics show that it can happen with the necessary effort. Door knocking is not going to convert the masses, but neither is any other strategy. But it is tried and true method that brings a church one step towards church growth. Any questions about door knocking? Yes, ma'am.
Well, this is not a question.
Okay.
I'm not making excuses for us, as Christians. It's a fact. My husband and I are sojourners.
Okay. You know Pat and Bob?
Yes.
They used to be. Okay. Right.
If you have 100 people plus, you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
If you're smaller than that, we go and help you.
Right.
But they do the children's homes, they do the Bible camps, mm-hmm. they do the little churches.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go one of two places. You can do the physical, which is go and work.
The painting and handyman work, yep.
I'm painting this room full of gallons.
Yeah.
But you can do the spiritual.
Right.
And that's where you go and you do door knocking.
Right.
Or you do the VBS.
Right.
There is no problem at all getting people to go and do door knocking. There's no problem in teaching people. There's no problem in baptizing people. The problem is keep them.
Yeah. The follow up. Yeah. The follow up.
There's your problem right there.
Yeah.
But every time we stick somebody under the water,
yeah.
if we could write their name down in that number, we would show growth.
Like the Mormons do, right?
Yeah.
We don't.
No.
No. And back in the 60s, when door knocking was a big, big deal with Churches of Christ, that was part of our problem. We did not follow up, in my opinion.
So then it sounds like that the rest of us who aren't doing the door knocking, we also have a job.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Once they get here,
yeah.
What are we going to do to be able
right.
to keep them?
Right.
We want them to stay here. And I have to take out time of my week to try to develop a relationship
exactly.
with because if they are not connected to us in that level, yeah, they're not going to stay.
Right.
So maybe that's what's going on. You're baptized them, you get them here, but then you can't just see them on Sunday and that be it, and they stay.
All right, we have to.
And I'm guilty.
Yeah, they're babes in Christ is the term we use, and we're not giving them the milk. Yes, Teresa?
Every 2 weeks, you're changing location.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so in 2 weeks, you know, you have taught this person and baptized given them to this tiny little congregation.
Right.
And then you're gone.
Then you're gone, yeah.
You're gone.
And We Care does that to some degree, but I think part of their training, David, do you know what the follow-up process is with We Care?
I knew Larry West before We Care.
Well, I know. Anybody know the relationship with Larry West and the Duck Dynasty people? Y'all remember that? Well, Alan Robertson, yeah, but Missy, which is Larry's daughter, is married to Jace.
Yeah.
Jace Robertson. Teresa, you've got your hand up. I'm sorry.
No, I was just thinking about the afterwards point, and I thought about how Todd preached to us when we first started this, about that we're family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 We should. We don't always do it, but we should. Let's move on. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
That meant a lot to me to have somebody reach out and say, hey, we missed you. Where are you? That's how you keep people.
Yeah.
You know, and I just wanted to say that.
And that's the point behind this buddy system we got going.
You know, it's not keeping up with people. It's keeping up with what they're going through.
Yeah. 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 Last word.
I when I first started coming here, everyone always made me feel welcome too and encouraged me. They made sure I didn't sit by myself and they made me feel at home. But instrumental was how I dealt with it. I first did not come to Bible study. I did not participate.
Yeah.
That's important too. I
yeah.
had to be able to come and do to receive what is being given to me and offered to me and being a part of this family as well.
Right. Takes both sides to some degree. Yep. Let's move on. We got some interesting things to talk about. Some other types of evangelism, public study evangelism. This technique simply comes from reading your Bible by yourself in a small restaurant or a small group in a public place. Someone comes up to you and sees you reading your Bible and starts asking you questions. Has anyone ever done that? You have, Christine?
I didn't know that was a technique.
What sort of results
did you? On purpose, though, expecting people to come
It just happened?
I just take my Bible and read it.
Okay. Connie, do you have your hand up?
At the beach.
At the beach?
I read my Bible at the beach, and almost always somebody comes up and says, I'm so glad you're, and we start talking.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So that's a form of method. Friendship evangelism. Casual interactions with people from waiters, friends, family, co-workers, and so on and so forth. Y'all remember about this time, 6 years ago, Bill Arnold did a one-day seminar called Who Cuts Your Hair and Who Serves You Pancakes? It's strictly friendship evangelism is what he was talking about. So you can see, write to Bill and he'll probably send you that. And along the same lines, career or hobby evangelism. This is where you take maybe a hobby or a second job that you're doing. And as you're out helping someone after, when you get through or whatever the why you're there, then you just kind of start talking spiritual things to them, that sort of thing. Any questions about friendship or career or hobby? Yes, ma'am.
I'm embarrassed to say, but my teenage son invites way more people to come into
his Yeah.
And until right now, I'm just kind of embarrassed to say, three of his friends at the skate park.
Yeah.
He'll just invite them. He's got one here again today.
There you go. He should be out here teaching the class then.
I guess I get a little too busy.
Yeah.
To invite somebody.
Yeah. It takes guts to some degree. Yes, Kathy Ann?
I want her to share.
Okay, go ahead, Kathy.
Several months ago, a friend of ours in North Georgia told us about a good way to get to know people better, and it was when someone is waiting on you, like serving you, a waiter or a waitress,
mm-hmm.
you can say that you're about to have a blessing over your food, and you've already seen their name, maybe
yeah.
called them by name.
Yeah.
Is there anything, when we say our prayer, is there anything that we can pray for you? Is there anything we can say in our prayer for you? And I have had busy waitresses walking away, and when my husband would say that, they would turn around. Almost like, I've had two cry immediately.
Oh, really?
Tears are on the edge. And then it gives them that open opportunity to say, I mean, I've had one say, I lost my husband 6 weeks ago. He fell out of a tree. He's a tree surgeon, you know.
Oh.
Really tragic. I have four children, you know. And then they'll do things like in a few minutes. Actually, last Sunday, one went and got, she had four kids. She went and got her oldest daughter. This is our waitress.
Yeah.
She's having to be careful because she's got a full room. She brings the child over because she wants us to meet.
Oh.
And then we have a little card that we give
yeah.
at the end, you know, that invites them to church.
Right.
And on the back it has salvation. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll try to give it to them the second time and they'll go, oh, I've still got that card.
Yeah. We here at Destin used to have a little business card type thing we would hand out to folks.
Yeah, this has our family's picture on it.
Oh, okay. Like a family card? Okay. Are you? Okay, how about radio evangelism? This is our Bible radio shows. They're not necessarily where you just do sermons. The best thing they found that works is a Q&A type call-in show. Yes, sir?
I was just going to say, my dad, he was a preacher. It sounds like a bad joke. A Church of Christ preacher, a Catholic priest, and a Jewish rabbi. That was the show.
Oh, really?
And, it was actually an early morning TV show. And my dad commented years later, he said, he's not sure that anyone ever was converted, but his whole approach to evangelism changed after that. He felt that his personal change was so much more effective in the future from that show.
Yeah.
This is a neat area.
Yeah, it is. And you don't see it much or hear about it. A lot of you know who Joe Beam is. He's been here a couple of times. Joe used to do a radio show when I was in Montgomery back in the 70s and 80s before he moved out of town, and we won't go into the reason that happened. But he did a radio show, and strictly call in. People would call in. This usually on Sunday night after church and with all kinds of issues and questions. I know, about marriage. But this is how...
to this section.
Well, okay. And then after Joe left Montgomery, another member of Carriage Hills took over the show. And they would do that every Sunday. Strictly call in. They did not know who was going to be on the other end of that phone when they picked it up. And this was live on the air. So, and but, Bob, huh? Something like that, yeah.
That's what they
call
it.
Yeah. World Christian is shortwave, based in Alaska. Yeah, they shoot into China and Russia, but it started out just going to China. But yeah, I mean, there's nothing, anything that you can get the word out with. So, nuisance calls, robocalls, wrong numbers. I thought this was kind of funny when I saw this. This is where you get one of those robocalls and you find out it is a live person, which sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. But you just kind of feed them along, and whatever they're trying to push, you kind of use that against them and try to get conversation with them. You never know what's going to happen. I have a note. Sometimes a marketer or scammer hangs up, but sometimes they listen. So, you know, it's a good way of practicing and honing your skills, so to speak. So,
this is not really the approach I usually take.
And then the final on the list, small group ministry. One thing, and I have there in your notes, small groups essentially run into the same basic problem being evangelistic as individuals, and that is they don't know how to share the gospel. So we can learn what we need to do, but if we don't know what we're supposed to say, then we run into problems. And that's part of what Vaughn talked to you about several weeks ago. Are there any others? Methods that you can think of real quick?
I found the best method is the one that you do.
Exactly. There you go. Very good. Yeah.
Lynn, I think Vacation Bible Schools should be on here.
This is not an inclusive.
I just think BBS pulls in as a community.
Yeah. And used to be, and that's the reason we used to run the joy buses. We get the kids in, the parents hopefully will follow at some point. Yes, sir?
Hope Church of Christ in Miami. He does this daily devotion and Sunday service on Facebook.
Okay. Our services are streamed on YouTube every week. So, but yeah, anything to get the word out. I have 5 minutes to go over motivation. Whenever evangelism does not occur, lack of motivation, or in some cases improper motivation, is usually at the root of the problem. With the right motivation behind our efforts in evangelism, the job will get done. Dennis Waitley, in his book, The Joy of Working, this is primarily about secular work, but I think it works when it comes to evangelism. Motivation is essential to succeeding in any endeavor you try. Motivation is like steam. Properly channeled, it can move large objects like a steam-powered train, but without it, the train remains motionless. Our motivation should come from the example Jesus provided for us, and I've given you five different kind of categories. First one is compassion for lost souls. We talked about some the first week, when he asked his disciples to pray that God might send out laborers into his harvest and to find something about him and to do something about it himself. How do we develop or strengthen this compassion for lost souls? We'll let God teach us to love as he did with the Thessalonians and does through the examples of Christ in 1 John. The second one is a sense of purpose. We see this in his conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well. He stated the same purpose in life on many other occasions. Jesus taught that we should have the same sense of purpose in our lives. As we understand God's will for us, we learn that our purpose for being his special people centers around proclaiming the praises of him. Third one is the love of the Father. Jesus had experienced the love of the Father, which prompted him to love others. This love was such that he wanted to share it with others, even if it was necessary for him to go to the cross to make it possible. Is anyone familiar with the idiom, good news spreads like wildfire? And what is good news for a Christian? The gospel. So we could say the gospel spreads like wildfire. I made that up. Another way to increase our experience of the Father's love is to make our love for Jesus stronger. The best way to do this is by spending time learning more about Him from the Word of God. The fourth one is the terror of the Lord. Jesus taught that we should fear God and warned of the judgment to come. Knowing the terror of the Lord, Jesus was willing to go to the cross so man might be saved. The NIV uses fear of the Lord. King James does use the term terror of the Lord. A lack of concern and involvement in trying to reach the lost for Christ would certainly imply that we have not let the Word of God influence our lives. And finally, the joy set before Him. Jesus was motivated by the joyful prospect of being with His Father. This enabled Him to endure the cross and despise the shame. We need to increase our level of appreciating what lies ahead for the faithful by contemplating what God has prepared for us. So in conclusion, since Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, we should be looking unto Jesus for the motivation we need to do His will. We should consider Him, lest we become weary and discouraged in doing God's will. Skip down a couple of paragraphs. May we also allow God's Word, the example of Jesus, to motivate us in evangelizing the lost. The problem is what Zig Ziglar calls stinking thinking. Armed with the wrong perspectives or doing of our way of looking at things, many personal workers eventually lose heart. Before long, evangelistic efforts dwindle and in some cases stop altogether. Any questions about motivation? Yes, ma'am.
In Huntsville, we're from Huntsville, Alabama. We have a TV show, Abundant Living.
Uh-huh.
Here, Bradley has it.
Uh-huh.
And we have people manning the phones while he's talking, and it's been very effective.
It's same as sort of like the radio, what you're doing on TV.
It's been so effective.
Yeah.
And we send out information, mail it to them, or either they will come in for studies, you know. So
I have some friends at Mayfair. So I'm familiar with Huntsville. Yeah. Anybody else have a question or comment about motivation or door knock?
You had statistics on only one of
them. On who?
The door knock.
Had Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, and Church of Christ.
Yeah, the statistics on door knocking was the only one you had.
Yeah.
Did you have any numbers on any of
them? No. on the back of your sheet, since I had an extra page, I gave you, where is it? Oh, 10 incredible things that happen when we invite someone to church. So read through that sometime. It's pretty interesting. Next week, we'll talk about getting prepared and taking action. And we will actually, I know you've been waiting on it for 6 weeks, and we have now, just now fixing to get into it. We're going to talk about the parable of the sower, or otherwise known as the parable of the soil, which is usually the first scripture you read about or study about in evangelism. We're putting it at the end. So, any other final questions or comments? Thank you for your... Yes, sir?
You asked about the repair.
Yeah.
What's neat about that, going by the last page here, you know, inviting people to church, one of the things is really not being concerned about asking people to come to church with them, because if they don't know Jesus... You know, it's like you're not knowing anything. The main focus is the gospel.
Right.
So if you can preach them the gospel and then they obey, then
you can feed them.
Teach them all the things
that
I've told you to observe. But trying to, you know, kind of get the part ahead of the mule.
Right.
Right. So really, the real focus there is, you know, preaching the gospel. And it's neat because you get a little Bible to teach with.
Yeah.
And it takes you out of the picture, really. It's all scripture reading. Scripture reading. So it's not what I think, you know, or what I, you know, you can say it's what I believe.
Yeah.
But it's all, this is what God says about this. This is what God says about that.
In two weeks, which will be the last class of evangelism, I'm going to show you some tools that can be used to the kind of, the tools do the teaching. You don't really have to do the teaching.
Right. So. I'd say it's about 40% success rate.
Yeah. They got good numbers. We Care has good numbers. Yeah. But you got to do the work. Yeah. Got to do the work. Thank you for your comments. Y'all have a great week, and see you next week.